Good morning. It's good to see everybody here. It's a beautiful day outside. Today's message is healing power and prayer. And if you would turn in your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 5, verses 13 through 16 will be the scripture I'm looking at today. And I'd like to ask you to stand when you get there. And today I'm going to be reading from the New International Version. I'm doing something a little bit different here today. That I like the way this was worded, so that's why I'm preaching out of the NIV today. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And God, Lord, I pray that, Father, you will encourage us to pray more, to seek you more, Father. And God, we ask you to pour out your Spirit upon us, and we pray that you will change the very people that we are, that we'll be different when we leave here today, dear God, than when we came in. Because, Lord, we will experience you and your love in such a significant way, Lord. And God, as I preach this message, let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit and nothing from my thoughts or my own flesh. And God, we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Healing power and prayer. You know, a lot of times when we think of healing, we think of healing in the physical realm. But do you also realize that there is also healing in the spiritual realm as well? And one of the best, to me, the books in the Bible is James. Because to me, James is such an uplifting book. And it seems to have so many answers from chapter 1 through chapter 5 about different things. But when I was focusing on James chapter 5 the other night, my wife and I were talking, and we were discussing a prayer. And we were discussing how important it is that we fabricate every day of our lives, that actually our days are hemmed in prayer. From the time that we get up, and no matter what we do throughout the day, and that we close out our day at bedtime with prayer. And I told my wife, I said, I would like to, we pray a lot together, but I said, I want to get together, you and I, and just pray more. Because you know what? We are really in a time in our day and age that we need to seek God for answers. We need to seek God for direction, and the best way of doing that is in prayer. And there's people that need healing, physically and spiritually. This morning I went and made a quick visit down the road, and when I got to this person's house, there was a smile on their face. I accidentally got them out of bed. I didn't mean to, but there was a smile on their face, and we talked for a little bit, and I saw that there is a need for prayer for a person for healing. So anyway, my first point this morning is when we are in trouble, we should pray. And verse 13 said, is any one of you in trouble? What should he do? He should pray. When we pray, prayer opens up a level of communication with God. Now, I want you to picture this. God is sitting on His throne, and God is waiting for you and I to come to Him and pour out our hearts. Because, see, God knows every need that you have before you even go and pray. And I've had people say to me, well, if God knows every need, then why should I pray? Well, because God designed us and God created us to have this kind of fellowship with Him. I want you to think about this. When we go to God in prayer, I want you to know that God, He gets excited. He really does. It moves Him in such a way. I mean, if you've been lonely throughout one day, boy, this is a good point too. Effie and I were talking about something a little while ago, and boy, this really sparked something in me. We were discussing somebody and said, you know, things can get lonely, you know, when you're by yourself. If you've ever had a day when you're by yourself and you've been feeling a little bit lonely and you've either gotten a knock on the door or you got a phone call, how did you feel when you knew that somebody thought of you? I remember the night we went to see, popped in over Harold's to give him a visit, and Laura and Effie and myself showed up and we knocked on his door, and Harold had this big smile on his face. I know it because he wasn't looking at my face, but no, I'm just kidding. He was happy to see us. He was very thrilled, I could tell, and we had such a good time of fellowship. But in the same way, now God doesn't get lonely, see, because God's love. But I know that just as we would get excited that somebody would think about us, God gets excited as well. He created us in His likeness, and it moves God when we come and communicate with Him. I mean, you and I have communication with each other. We communicate with people throughout the day. How do we know what's going on? Because we talk to one another and we have that kind of fellowship. And when we have this kind of fellowship with God, it causes God to move, and God will move in our life. So when we are in trouble, the Bible says pray. It doesn't say gripe and complain. That's what a lot of us want to do. I mean, that's the first thing that the devil puts in your mind. Yesterday, there was a funeral service we worked, and this lady was 83 years old, and every aspect of her life was all about Jesus. Everything. Her family, her work. 19, I'm trying to remember what year it was now. It's in the obituary. But she went back to college and got, I think it was a bachelor's degree. Her husband was an attorney, but everything they did revolved around Jesus. And here's the neat thing. Now, she had passed on and gone to heaven, and the family, I heard them tell me, we're going to miss Mom, or we're going to miss Grandma, we're going to miss our aunt. But here's what I heard. We are thankful for what she gave to us. She gave us Jesus. She gave us love. She prayed for us. Now that moved me right there. And there's two different ministers who spoke yesterday. That service was an hour long. And I tell you what, I cried through that service yesterday. And one of those speakers I know very well, and he's a praying man. And I've watched God work in his life, but when we pray in times of trouble, it brings us to a place of peace, it brings us to contentment, and it brings us joy. Now, every one of us faces different things in our life, but when we focus on God, and when we pray, it shifts our attention from the problem or situation we're going through, and it moves it to God. And do you know what happens when we focus on God? We forget about the external things going on around us. When Peter got out of the boat and wanted to walk to Jesus on the water, as long as he had his eyes on Jesus, he was fine. He was walking on the water. Now, there was a storm all around him, and we know that the Bible says that Peter's attention got his eyes off of Jesus, and he started to focus on what was going on around him And he started to sink, and he cried out to the Lord, and Jesus stretched out his hand and saved him. If we keep our eyes on the Lord in times of trouble, we will have a peace that passes all understanding. And the Bible says that God will guard our hearts and our minds. So when we're moved to gripe or grumble or complain about anything, we should zip it and we should get our attitude in the right state and we should start to praise the Lord. Now, yesterday, my back was bothering me some yesterday. And, well, I could have told every living person coming up there, hey, let me tell you about how my back's hurting today. Could I tell you about the pain I'm experiencing? Oh, it's just terrible. Well, you know what people would feel? They'd be feeling rotten going into that funeral. They'd be, golly, that guy out there, he's negative. I wouldn't suggest going up and talking to him. He'll ruin your day. But as people come up yesterday, and then I tried to do this with a lot of folks, you know, but it was a busy day. But as folks come up, you know, I just greet them with a big smile and say, what a blessed day it is, isn't it? And they'll ask for directions, you know, where do we go for the service? And I tell them where to go. And I say, I hope you have a blessed day. I want to put good things into people. So when I spend time with God in prayer, it excites me. Yeah, there's a lot going on in my life right now. There's things on my plate but you know what? There's nothing I can do. I can't wave my finger and make it all change. But what I can do is I can bring it to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I offer my problems at the foot of His throne. And when I bring my troubles to the foot of the throne, you know what I get in return? I get mercy, I get grace, I get peace, I get love, and I get joy. Now see, God gives us these things, and I don't have to ask Him for it. All I have to do is receive it. That's what I want you to understand. A lot of people go through life in trouble, and they're always asking and begging God. Now, I heard this preacher praying yesterday, and I kind of wanted to have a talk with him because he was saying, Lord, we beg You for mercy. Lord, we beg You for this. And I thought, man, you don't have to beg Him for nothing. God says that He gives it to us already. He gives it to us in abundance, but what is He waiting for us to do? He's waiting for us to receive it. It's a gift. At Christmas time when you give a gift, well, the person you're giving it to has to receive it. You're the giver. You have it. It's there. But they have to reach out and receive it and receive it thankfully and joyfully. So when we're in prayer and we're praying about the things in our life and we receive these things from God, it does. It changes everything in your atmosphere. It turns your complete world upside down. And sometimes when you get to the end of a situation you've been praying through, even if it's a long time, and you get to the end of it, have you ever found yourself saying, God was faithful through all of this. He was with me. He never left my side. So whatever it is that you're going through today, pray to God and wait on Him. So like I said, God already knows what we need. Because God is all-knowing. He knows the beginning and the end of everything. And He desires to hear from us. And this is where we get the greatest fellowship. If we don't have fellowship with anybody else, I've known people who, maybe were in a nursing home or assisted living or lived by themselves. And I'd always see them with a smile on their face. And I would just have to ask them, what is it? I know that you're alone, but what is it? I just got to know. And they said, it's Jesus. They said, Jesus is here with me. And they said, He's the best friend I got. And I get to talk to Him every day. And so that's why I have a smile on my face. And that's why there's joy in my heart. Because I let Him have every matter of my life. When we ask for something in prayer, though, there's a couple things we have to have. We have to have faith, and we have to believe. If you go back into James chapter 1 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, which means if you pray and ask God for something, and then you start to doubt, then God can't move. See, when you pray and believe, when you have, you got to have faith, which means you come to God, you know who God is, you know that God's capable of doing it, and you release it to Him, and you're getting it, you know, off of your life. You're getting it out of your heart, and you're placing it to the Lord, and you're saying, Father, I trust You with this situation. But I also believe that You have the answers. And Lord, whatever time it takes or whatever I've got to go through, I know, Lord, that You are with me and You'll never leave me and You will never forsake me. See, when we learn to have faith and believe that God's going to work in our life, then we're going to be all right. We really will. Jesus Himself encountered a lot. He endured a lot in His time of ministry upon the earth. When Jesus went into the wilderness and Satan came along and tempted Him, you know what Jesus did? Jesus rebuked Satan and He spoke the Father's word. He spoke the word and He basically told Satan, get thee behind me. He cast Satan away. And Satan's going to come at us time and time again, and he's going to say, he'll say things like, well, don't you know you're not important enough? God doesn't really love you, or God doesn't really hear your prayers. You're going to suffer with what Satan is going to come with an onslaught. And the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, or the fight that we have, it's not a physical carnal fight, but what we're fighting is in the spiritual realm. See, Satan is the prince of the power of the air, and he does his fighting. But if we would get on our knees, and if we would fight and not give up, but if we would press forward every day, and if we bind the enemy, and sometimes you're going to have to tell Satan, get thee behind me, get under my feet, and tell Satan that the Lord, He's in charge of everything. But if we would fight daily, we would find that our life and everything involved with it would be a lot sweeter. Now, I want to go back for a moment about Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas are in prison. They're chained and shackled, and they're probably in. Now, you know, back in them days, there wasn't nothing clean about the prison they were in. They didn't have air conditioning. They didn't have TV and internet. They didn't have cell phone. They didn't have soda pops or water. I mean, they didn't have all the good luxuries like these guys do in prison today. But they were chained and shackled. They probably had bugs crawling all over them. And it was probably hot. But the Bible says that Paul and Silas, while they were in prison, what did they do? Right. They started to sing. Now, how many of you, if you were chained and shackled up, how many of you sitting in a prison would sit there and start singing? Or how many of us would say, well, Lord, thanks for turning Your back on me. You just put me here now. What a mess I'm in. Kind of remind me of the Laurel and Hardy movies. Laurel and Hardy, I always got a kick out of those. Hardy would say to Stanley, he'd say, well, here's another nice mess You got me into. How many of us would say, well, Lord, thanks a lot. You just put me here. What are You doing to me? But when Paul and Silas were in prison, they were like, first thing they did was they started to pray and they started to sing and rejoice. And as they prayed, the prison started to shake and they were broke free from the bondage that they were in. Now, you and I, we go through spiritual bondages in our life. And the way to break those spiritual bondages is we got to sing. I don't care if you think you're not the best singer in the world. I can't sing. I just don't have a singer's voice. But you know what I do? I still get in the car and sing anyway. I've had people tell me I sound like a hound dog that has been hit with some buckshot. Or birdshot, I mean. Or a deer slug. But anyway, I still sing. Because when I come in the Lord's presence, I want the Lord to know I love Him. And I'm here to have fellowship. I'm excited about what He's given me in life. Next, even when things are good, we should rejoice. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. The Bible instructs us to sing songs of praise. We should sing praises to God all the time. I can remember when I was little in church, I never could figure out why my grandmother was such a happy person, why she was so full of life. And every time she'd be doing something around the house, she'd be singing. When my mom, you know, was doing things around the house, my mom would be singing gospel songs. And as I got older, when I became a Christian, I realized that even when they were happy or when they were going through difficult times, I would see them sing. And I would see their face light up. They had a countenance about them. And what drew me to them was the love of the Lord that was coming out from their heart. And I would just be curious as to what it was. But anyway, during this funeral service yesterday, there were people started to sing during the song part. This lady had a real beautiful voice, and she was playing the keyboard, singing some songs. And I heard people within the congregation that had attended the service, and they were starting to sing. And even though we were in a funeral service, there was a lot of joy there. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if in our lives, if we could just, you know, because when times are good, we're happy, aren't we? Oh, yeah, when things are going great, man, we're on top of the mountain. Someone asks you, hey, how you doing? Man, I'm doing great. But when you go through something bad, what's our reaction? Well, you just don't know what's going on in my life right now. Geez, terrible. So whatever we're going through, we happy or sad, we should be saying, man, things are great. God is in control of my life. And I've lifted up praise to Him today. I know He's in control of everything. I mean, if you get on a Greyhound bus or an Amtrak train, what are you doing? Well, you're trusting the person who's controlling that thing. How many of you ever think about a train wreck or a bus wreck when you get on board? Do you ever think, well, you don't do that. So why is it with God, no matter what's going on, why do we start thinking some of the most negative things about what could happen? If we're going to get on board a bus or a train or whatever, or even an airplane, somebody was talking earlier about flying. I always said, I believe what the Bible says, lo, I'll be with you always. That's a preacher's joke. But I've learned in all things to always be content and always rejoice. And something that's carried on in my life is the singing. And I think one of the most rejoicing times I had was watching my mom pass away. Because that last week that I had with her, all she sang was gospel music. And her mind had been gone for quite a long time. And she didn't know who any of us were. And she woke up one day and she started calling off our names and she started singing again. And I want you to know, I knew what was coming, but I didn't get mad at the Lord over it. I was excited because she was going home to be with Jesus. So, in Colossians 3:16 commands us to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And like I told you, when Paul and Silas sang in prison, they were freed from their bondages. If we would sing, you know, God will lift the spiritual bondages. He'll break them in our life. Don't sit around and worry about, well, I can't do this, or I'm going through that, or the doctor gave me a bad report. You know, my wife told me the other day when she went to go, this was a painful thing she went through, and I tell you what, after what she told me what she went through, it made my knees cringe. It made my knees hurt. But as I listened to her talk, you know what she did? She went in that room with that specialist and she took Jesus with her. And that's all she talked about. She said, yeah, there was some burning and pain, but she said it was awful. But she said, the Lord was with me. And the more she talked, boy, it just made me happy. I look at the Lord working in her life and see, God wants to work in each and every one of our lives that way. God wants to make everything so sweeter. God is moved by our praises. When we react joyfully to God, He moves on our behalf. And do you know, I want to say something. How God moves in our life, it definitely depends on how we react to Him. It really does. If we're going through something really negative, or if we're going through a hard trial, do you know that if we react in such a negative way back to God, I firmly believe that He will not move on our behalf. Because you know what He's waiting for? God is waiting for us to come to Him and say, Father, I trust You. Yeah, Lord, I know that I'm going through this loss. Yes, Lord, I know I'm going through financial difficulty. Lord, I've had a broken bone or whatever it is. My family's been falling apart, it seems like. But you know what, Lord? I believe that You are going to work everything for my good in this situation. Even if it's a tough time at job, boy, I tell you what, I've seen people go through difficult things at their job site, and they say, man, I just want to quit my job. I go, why do you want to do that? Well, you just don't know how hard things are. I said, have you tried taking Jesus into your job with you? Well, no, but because if you knew of all the negativity, I said, yeah, but He is greater than all the negative stuff in this world. If you take the Lord into your job site with you, you wouldn't hate your job so bad, and you wouldn't despise the people that are all around you. If you would take Jesus with you into work, then and you lift Him up in your workplace, they're going to see something different about you, and it's going to change the entire environment. The whole atmosphere will change. I mean, I've got some people at times that I work with. Boy, they're negative. Oh my goodness, are they? And you know what I do? I turn the conversation around, and you know what eventually ends up happening? They'll walk away. And I say, thank You, Jesus. Because I start talking about church. I start talking about the Lord. I start talking about how good God is. And they immediately, they'll take off. Now, sometimes I've had them, they'll stop and they'll have a conversation with me. But when I react to God in faith, I know God in turn is going to move in and He's going to answer my prayers. But if I come to God and I'm you know, bucking against Him and I'm negative, I'm not going to receive from Him at all. And the Bible says, are you sick? Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray for him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. So, this is something I want to just hit on real quick, and then I'm going to be done. How many times do we ask people to come forward and we pray for them, anoint them with oil? A lot of people say, oh, no, we don't do that here. That's only the Pentecostals or apostles. No, I just read it in God's Word in James chapter 5. If anybody is sick, the elders in the church, that's people who are pillars in the church, people who have faith and believe, people who are dedicated, who know what God can do. And when you get people like that together and you anoint somebody with oil and you pray for them and you believe, the Bible says they will recover. Now, what happened a lot of the time in the Bible when Jesus... Let's go back to the paralytic in Mark chapter 2. In Mark chapter 2, a paralytic is brought by four of his friends. They dig the roof away from Simon Peter's mother-in-law's house. And they drop him down through the roof in front of Jesus. What's one of the things Jesus said to him? He didn't say right away, be healed and take... He says, let your sins be forgiven and take up your bed and walk. So, how many times did Jesus heal somebody? He also told them, go and sin no more, or your sins are forgiven. I want to say this to you. A lot of the things we do in the flesh, outside of the Spirit, the way we live or act or behave, away outside of, from the Lord, I believe the worry, the negativity, the confusion, the fighting, whatever it is, anything evil, I firmly believe that what you participate in, it will affect your physical health. Do you realize that? It will. It will affect it. So if we're praising the Lord and if we're rejoicing and happy, well, yeah, we're going to go through difficult times, but it's going to make you a whole different person. It's going to make you a more joyful person. And yeah, are we going to be sick? Yeah, because we live in a physical body that it's not perfect. And yeah, we'll go through. But if we praise the Lord and worship Him through these times, God will move on our behalf. And I've seen God heal people. But the things we do in the flesh, the unrighteousness that we sow into, I believe it creeps up into physical sickness. Because you know how many people that I've talked to over my years as a pastor, I've had people come in the office and they're taking prescription drugs because they say they're all stressed out over whatever. And finally, when we got to the bottom of the conversation after some time of talking, I've had people, and I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with prescription drug, whatever. You know, I believe God gave doctors, but I also believe we should be going to the chief physician first. And we should be giving Him everything in our life. But after talking to people, I found out that what they worried about or the things that were going on, they let it eat their world up so bad, they lost their hope and their peace in the Lord. And they were turning to everybody else. I mean, if I had things going on in my life, and I call Effie, or I call Milton, or I call Laura, or whoever, Jane, Amy, if I call them, hey, I got troubles going on. I need to talk to you. I need some answers. Well, you know what? They're going to say, well, let's pray. But they're not going to have the answers for my life. If I turn to people or if I turn to other things in this world, I'm basically saying, well, Lord, I could have used you right now, but I'm going to turn and try to find other sources first. When we should have come to God beforehand. Get this last point here, and then I'll close. The Lord does the healing, and our faith in God causes Him to move. We have to believe, we have to stand firm, and not doubt. And you know how the best way is to learn how to stand? By getting on your knees. When you learn how to kneel, you'll know how to stand. See, God is a loving God. He's a righteous God. He's a good God. In Him, there is no darkness. And do you realize how easy He has made life for us? And He's made it so easy because He gave us Jesus. That's why it's so easy. He gave us Jesus. Jesus knows it all. And if He knows it all, and if He's gracious and loving and powerful, if He created this entire world, I mean, go outside today or go outside tonight when the stars are out, and I want you to think about how the stars stay up there, or the moon and the sun, how they're out there and how we have gravity. It wasn't from a gaseous explosion and boom, it was there. God created all of it. So if God created this complex solar system and everything in it, and if He created you and I, then don't you think He can solve all the problems? One of the greatest things I could tell you to do is also go read Matthew chapter 6 and 7. Also read Philippians chapter 14 and read the book of James. And I encourage you to read it over and over and over. And we should be taking this word in and feeding on it. And we should be letting it root inside of us so that we live by the Spirit. So there is healing in prayer. There's spiritual healing because there are issues with the Spirit that cause us to live the wrong way. But there's also, and that's what leads to the physical issues. So there is healing in prayer. And I want to encourage you that if there's ever a time you need prayer, call me. I'll come to your house and I'll bring somebody with me and we'll anoint you with oil and we'll pray for you. But see, we can't let We can't let our own ideas or our own beliefs and philosophies stand in the way of what God's Word wants us to do.